Morning, Buzz.
Morning, boys. Up, up, Cronulla.
Shut
the
up.
Voices,
shut
the black,
up.
White and blue. Come on, give us a break, Middle, will you? Actually, people like you, not giving them any credit, underrating them, keep it up, please.
You need to win a final, Buzz. You need to win a final after what's happened the last 2 years. But they're going good. There's no doubt about that.
And if you have a look to their draw, they've got St George this weekend. The Derby's all, and St George will be on the rebound. That's at home. You won't get a ticket to that at Shark Park. Then, in the four of the next five games are against Storm, Roosters, Panthers, Broncos. So, look, no one in the Shire's getting carried away yet, but Nico's in great form. Cameron McGuinness is what an underrated player he is. But we're going to get a great indication, I think, on Origin Eve, just where this side's heading this year.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Buzz. I think everyone is just waiting and seeing how the Sharks go against some of these better-ranked teams, but they're beating everyone in front of them at the moment, and that's all you can do. You mentioned Nico and Cam McGuinness. Hypothetically, do those two players make the State of Origin side? Because when you look at the Sharks there, there's no standout rep player, really, is there?
No, but I think Nico should be now. I think he's a standout selection now to play 5-8. I looked at Game 3 team last year and Cody Walker was there and with Moses, and he obviously won't be there this year. And look, Jerome Luai's an easy choice alongside his premiership, triple premiership winning half, Nathan Cleary. But I think Nico's form is impossible to ignore. And you talk about Cameron McGuinness. You know what? I keep scratching my head. How did Anthony Griffin let him go for McCulloch about 3 years ago at St George? It's been a massive bonus for Cronulla. Look, I can't see McGuinness being in Origin contention because he's up against Isaiah Yeo. He's up against, who else? Cameron Murray at South Sydney, who can play anywhere in the forwards. And there's also Jake Trbojevic at Manly.
I think the fact he can play hooker.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ross.
I think that brings
good
him into the conversation because I picked him on my bench last year. I had him there because he can cover hooker, play in the middle. Rather than going the two specialist hookers that New South Wales were toying with. And I think he wouldn't look out of place, put it that way.
Who'll that be at hooker, you think?
Ooh,
Robson.
Hooker. Robson.
Boys.
Happy.
There has come. Yeah, I was going to say, I think clearly the best hooker in the comp this year is Appy Corrissau. He has been sensational for the West Tigers. With Robson number two.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with either of those guys. This one sort of caught my eye, Buzz. Latrell, there's some talk about him making himself unavailable for Origin. Now, on it, what he's done so far this season and to have this time off through suspension, I think it was always going to be difficult for him to be a part of that Game 1 team. Two things I want to talk about. How close is he to making himself unavailable, and will it be for the whole series? And the impact that it actually has on players picking and choosing when they can play representative football or not, and the impact that that might have into the future, and in particular when we get to a situation if it's a dead rubber for Game 3.
Yeah, look, it's a really, really interesting question because I was going to raise that myself. I'm not sure what the NRL will think about players picking and choosing whether they are to make themselves available. It is a part of every NRL contract that a player must make himself available for representative football. And if they don't, they need a medical certificate or to be ruled out by whoever the doctor may be for that representative side. Look, I think the problem is going to be an easy one to solve for Michael Maguire with the Blues because on form, there is absolutely no way Latrell can justify selection in this side or outside of his suspension. He has had, and he played strong in Vegas, but he's been pretty sluggish other than that prior to the suspension. When my two centres would be Tom Turbo and Stephen Crichton from the Bulldogs. if anything was to happen to those two, I think Tony Staggs and Bradman Best, who was outstanding Game 3 last year, would be the next two candidates. So I think Latrell at Best is probably a number 5 selection at this stage. I do like Latrell's mindset, whether the NRL like it or not. I love the fact that he's going to put the South Sydney Rabbitohs, where he has underachieved, you know, been unavailable for so many finals since he's been there through ill discipline or through injuries. I love the fact that he's thinking South Sydney are now my number one. It's what every Rabbitohs fan wants to hear. And look, I can understand what he's thinking.
Yeah, no, I can too, Buzz. When you know, you've been out of form and your team's not going well, you want to focus in on your club. So I understand that. But I just reckon sometimes we might be setting ourselves up here because, as I mentioned before, if you allow them to pick and choose when they do
I know.
Just with that scenario of dead rubber game 3, you might have a lot of players pulling out of that third origin.
Yeah, of course you would. And the other thing is, we often get players well into the back end of their career who might retire from representative football, but they actually retire. They don't pick and choose. I won't play game one or two, which is understandable. You know what? It won't happen. But if Dally Cherry Evans, given his service to New South Wales, to Queensland and Australia, decided, look, I'm 35, 36, whatever he is, you know, I've had
no one would begrudge him that, would they?
No. And the young fellow from the Cowboys, Tom Dearden, had slot in there, you know, with Cameron Munster. But Latrell is going to be an interesting one for the NRL to monitor.
Yeah, he certainly will. There's a lot to play out there. We're talking about Souths. They take on Penrith this week. That's not going to get any easier. Demetrio, there'll be plenty of question marks around that. Who knows where that's going to end. You keep hearing things, Buzz, but you hear the counter-opinion that, no, he's good and they're going to give him longer.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll know in 48 hours. The South Sydney have a board meeting, a planned board meeting scheduled for tomorrow. Obviously, top of the agenda will be Jason Demetrio's future. We thought and we were told that he was a dead man walking a week or two ago. You saw their performance in Melbourne on, what was it, Anzac Day, Thursday night. They've got Penrith this weekend. If he survives the board meeting, is it a band-aid solution to keep JD there? Is it his fault that, you know, Latrell was so ill-disciplined, that, you know, Campbell Graham hasn't been there, that Jai Arrow's been away, Alex Johnson's out? Cookie hasn't been playing as great. Look, it's a really, really difficult one. But when they backed him a couple of weeks ago, they didn't back him long term. So I think they've got to take some, at least come out of that board meeting with some sort of statement to say he's there for the rest of the season, or we're going to look at Ben Hornby, or we're going to look at Mal Meninga just for the rest of this year. Or we're going to look at Michael Maguire to come back, who won the title there. I think it's got to be a statement board meeting. And the uncertainty, which would not be helping the players, needs to be addressed.
Well, what do they do then, Buzz? Because obviously we'll find out in the next 48 hours. But in the short term, there's some talk that Cody might play 7, Jack Whiten into 6. And they've also signed this young pummy halfback, Lewis Dodd. Do you know much about him?
Yeah, very good player, Loz, from St Helens, highly successful club, as you know, under Mike Rush in the UK Super League. And we all saw Lewis Dodd here 2 years ago, the World Club Challenge final against Penrith at Penrith Park, man of the match. Very, very good player. And look, I like the fact that, you know, the Rabbitohs are getting on the front foot and addressing recruitment short term. Sadly, I don't think Dean Hawkins has aimed up since he came into the side for Lachlan Ilias. I'm getting mail out of Heffron Park that Jason Demetrio will now look at moving Cody Walker to halfback, Jack Whiten to 5'8". When Latrell's ready to return after the Penrith game, he'll play centre because you've got to keep the young fullback there. You know, is that the answer? I don't know, but they've got to try something else. There is a long-term effect with the Lewis Dodd signing in that Lachlan Ilias, who is out injured for the rest of this year. I can't see him staying at the Rabbitohs. I think there are other opportunities at other clubs. He and his manager, Brayton Astor, will be investigating. I would not be surprised this week if they ask South Blake Solly for permission to negotiate elsewhere.
Now, Parramatta, where are they at, Buzz, coming off? Well, they were very competitive for a lot of that game the other night, and Manly just came over the top of them late there at Brookvale. But they've got some issues, particularly in the second half, don't they? As far as their... Well, you look at their for and against recently in the second half, it's not pretty.
No, I wrote this morning, mate, in the last four games, it's 104-33 in the second halves, and 40-8 in Darwin. 26-4 v Manly, 28-8 v Canberra. Now, this Manly game has been a bit misleading because they were reasonably competitive. They came back strong until Mako Sivo did the most ridiculous elbow forearm onto the head of an opponent. It was just a terribly, terribly dumb thing to do, and I'd drop him from the football side for it.
Well, that was
sorry,
after,
go on,
he spoke
go,
after
Clarkie.
The press conference. He Brad Arthur confirmed that it was dumb. Whether he drops him, I don't know, but it was dumb.
Oh, mate, you can't have. Look, they were really up for that game after an embarrassing loss in Darwin. And for one player to be so stupid and wreck the work of his teammates, Manly is so hard to beat at Brookvale. And they'd come back into that game. I think he deserves to be dropped, not for 1 week, but for a long period of time. That's just my view.
Yeah, I don't agree with you much, Buzz, but I reckon on this occasion I do, in terms of, you know, what happens on the field and away from the field with silly incidents. That was just, it was dumb.
We talk about the Hetherington stupidity of the tunnel blow-up and, you know, not being able to control his emotions when he was baited against the Bulldogs. But this was A-grade stupidity. There was absolutely no reason for it.
It was back to the dim dark ages where you could get... Now, with all the cameras, there's no way you can actually get with that sort of stuff. So, hey, this is going to keep raging on, and spoke about it very briefly this morning, but the kickoff, Nathan Gibbs, who much spoke, long-term doctor with New South Wales and various sports across Australia, he's joined the debate around concussion and off the kickoff.
Yeah, well, Nathan Gibbs has been around 40 years, as you said, with clubs, Origin, Kangaroos, Swans, Waratahs, 40 years, former captain of the Rabbitohs. When he talks, I think the game's got to listen. I really do, and it's a debate that Bulldog started about 6 weeks ago. I've been going banging on. I went back and found a story I wrote in 2019 about the collisions in rugby league and the size of players. Front rowers used to be mid 90 kilos. Excuse me. Now they're 120 kilos. They're faster, stronger, bigger. The collisions are greater. Nathan Gibbs supports the fact that we need to take it out of the game. But look, then I spoke to all the players, and I don't know if you read the column. Luke Lewis said, if we get rid of the kickoff, I'll never watch rugby league again. And then I spoke to Dale Finucane, who retired last week because of repeated head knocks. He said, no, he grew up every game waiting to see that first hit up. Now, Martin Lang, he's doing a PhD in neuroscience. Very clever fella. He's against it, banning it too. But you know, the best thing is that the game is now having a debate about it. It's on the radar of the NRL. I think it needs a lot more research. I think at the end of the year, they need to go back and look at every HIA this year and look at what caused them. Was it fatigue? Was it tackle technique? Was it the kickoff return? And then sit down with the likes of Dr. Gibbs and you know, the medicos in rugby league, the coaches, Because you know what? Can you imagine how big these gladiators and stronger and more power, they're going to be in 20 years' time? It's, you know.
Yeah,
no. Laurie?
Oh, Buzz, I totally agree, mate. I think this is the biggest challenge that all contact sports are facing at the moment. The chance of players being concussed and what that means for the game and what it means for litigation further down the track. So I think you've got to protect players from themselves. But it's just hard here sitting, listening and thinking about the game not having kickoffs. Like, it just... I don't know. But I know it's a debate that we have to have because
there are a lot of other collisions in rugby league that you don't have to be, you know, have players running at them for full pace for 20 to 30 metres. It's a brutal game as it is. But look, I know the fans love that part of the game and I can understand that. And I'm sort of fence-sitting myself at the moment. I don't want to get rid of it either. I don't, but I don't want blokes having problems later in life. No. I just don't.
No, and that's the issue, Buzz, that I find myself in at the situation in this situation, thinking about what I want for the game, but what I want to see happen to players with life after football, because I want to see them go and have the rest of their life and not have any concerns at all about...
Yeah, one of the stories of the weekend was the ferocity and the fearlessness of the way Nathan Brown at Brookvale Oval for Manly returned the football off the back fence. Mm. They were all talking about it, and the Manly players were so excited about his courage. Incredible courage these guys have got, because they don't deviate, Laurie. They don't get there and step. They can't. They're big men.
And you know what, Buzz? I could not do what they do. Mm. It's a certain person that can carry the ball off a kickoff. I know that.
Laurie, you couldn't do it from 5 metres away, let alone 40. I couldn't. They're so brave, these people. Mm. So much courage. I really admire them. But sometimes people like Nathan Gibbs need to step in and encourage for their own safety, their own well-being, their own long-term care to stop it. Anyway.
Buzz, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Hey, when's the other Clarkie back?
Next week.
Good question.
Oh, is he, mate, next week, I am going to absolutely give it to him when he comes back.
What's he done?
I've never known anyone, a breakfast radio, as much as Stu's doing a sensational job, I reckon he's better than Michael, but anyway, don't quote me on that.
That'll get straight back to
him. He's already, he'll know that by about 10 minutes' time.
No, I'll tell you that. Mate, I've never known anyone to have such a long holiday.
It's not a holiday, he's working.
Oh, mate, why don't we all take a month off this wonderful radio program? Please, give me a break.
Good on you, Buzz.
Thanks, Buzz.
See you, Buzz. Bye.